now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, when the leader of the Gungans, Boss Leone, is injured, it's discovered that there's an uncanny resemblance between the boss and Jar Jar Binks. Binks must sway his people from rising against the Naboo and stopping a separatist invasion led by General Grievous. There will be Boss Jar Jar! Witch Doctors! I told the Witch Doctor he said, and the return of Greavy. We're talking about Shadow Warrior this week. How you doing, Chris?
My Greavy's back.
My Greavy is back, and he's brought some droid friends.
Animated better than ever.
He's back. What?
And he's animated better than ever.
Yeah, that's actually one of my notes. I think season 4 is when they started, they redid a lot of the animations and a lot of the renderings to make them more, you can tell.
It looks higher definition, for sure.
Yeah, because I know it came up in the Umbara arc, because like in like season 1, season 2, the clones have very blocky kind of faces, but in the Umbara arc, when we get there, the clones, like, you can tell them apart. It's very clear.
Yeah, no, faces, like... Yeah, there's definitely more detail on the faces. Maybe not more movement and pliability or anything, but...
I noticed some, like, little eye movements, like Padme would, like, kind of move one eye, but, like, her other eye wouldn't squinch up as much. Like, there's, like, little tiny movements that are a little bit...
No, they definitely, like, got a bigger computer or something, you know, between seasons, because you can see the just general quality. There was a softness to it before the in the animation, and it's, you know, you can see a lot more of the edge to it. There's more texture to things too. It's really nice. So and also when I also see a step up, it's like, ooh, that looks good. And as time goes on, it's going to get better and better as they get used to all the, you know, the new power that they have and how to use it and make it look even better. So I'm really looking forward to this season visually.
Yeah, because I know we started seeing a lot of that last season. Like, for example, they, like, aged up Ahsoka and they changed, like, minor things on, like, Obi-Wan's costumes. And like, a lot of their background stuff, like in the Wookiee Hunt episodes, they had all that beautiful background work. And now it's finally all starting to come together because we've already seen it in the Mon Cala Civil War. Like, we couldn't see their faces as much because it was either Fish or Anakin and Padme were wearing helmets. But you can definitely tell it in this episode.
Oh, and Dooku's face right off the bat was just like, whoa. It's like, okay, he used to be a chess piece. Now he's a chess piece that's got some more carving put into it, and it's been painted with, you know, more detail and shading.
Man, I need to stop making, like, Dooku, like, a flaming queen in my notes. Because I have, like, now in my head, like, Dooku likes Broadway plays and eating caviar, and this time he was just like, why didn't you text me back? So, I need to stop doing that to him in my notes, but I shouldn't, because it's fun. Sorry.
I agree.
On which one?
I think that it's fun.
Very fun. Very fun. You know what's also fun that I want to talk about? They finished the first run of Forces of Destiny.
Oh, I know. And, you know, there's been about 5 points in the last couple days where I've seen people posting the videos, and I'm like, ooh, I got to catch up on those. And I haven't. But it's not going to take me long.
Yeah.
But I've only seen the first two, so what, I got three or four more?
I think there were six total, because two came out in one day. But the two that really, like, piqued my interest was there was one with Ahsoka and Padme, and it was just really nice because Catherine Tabor came back to do Padme's voice, so it was just, like, the first Padme since Clone Wars. So I was just like, it's been 48 years! I'm happy now. Like, Padme was great. But the one that really piqued my interest was the Jyn Erso one. And what first caught my attention is that her whole thing is she's trying to save this little girl's Lothcat. And then it hit me. Lothcats are only on the Thal, where Ezra Bridger lives. So I was just like, since they're in that same timeline, there's a very good chance we're going to see a little bit younger Jyn in season 4. If she's hanging out on the Thal, and
her backstory definitely was left to that's what I've been saying about these Star Wars movies is as we go forward and the TV shows they're thinking about it, you know.
Yeah.
And it might in the short term be to the detriment of the movies but as time goes on and you start filling it in, especially if you're going to like be watching the TV shows and the movies, which a lot of people are. I'm very interested. I hope that's what they're doing. It seems very much that that's what they're doing. There's been a lot of follow-up on that, you know?
And it particularly made me happy because this was a week. Three times this week in the past 7 days, I've had some people come into my store and pretty much tell me that, like, they don't accept Clone Wars and Rebels, and they think they're dumb shows, and I'm sitting here going, it's canon. And they're like, well, yeah, but there was the EU and stuff like that, and I get there's a lot of EU love out there, and I get that. But, like, to just totally blow off Clone Wars and Rebels, you can't deny it now, because, like, it's in the movies. You can't deny that.
You want to hear a weird coincidence?
What?
As I was at work, and I have a coworker who watches a lot of sci-fi sort of stuff, but he's really into like martial arts and stuff. So he's into Jedi. He knows all the Jedi masters and stuff. And he's like, you know what my favorite master is? Plo Koon. He can. And he starts describing the Water Wars episode or Water War arc where, you know, Plo Koon and Anakin are making a bubble underwater. He's like, they can make a bubble underwater. And I'm like, dude, we just watched and talked about that episode. That's so weird.
That's Kit Fisto.
Kit Fisto, yeah. I keep mixing. I think I did that a couple episodes ago, too.
You're like a parent. Because we're going to get to a Plo Koon episode, and you're going to be like, I really liked this about Kit Fisto. It was so great. And I'm just going to be like, Chris, you're confusing your children again. That's okay. My sister called me by my niece's name, and she calls my niece by my name a lot. My mom always said, every child that you have, you lose a third of your brain.
And my grandfather never went senile, but he went a little dotty, and he always used to call me by my father's name for a while, you know, towards the end.
Yeah, my sister's in her 30s. And she calls me by my niece's name and my niece by my name. But, yeah, I mean, but to go back to the thing, like, at the same time, like, on one hand, it was really annoying, but it was really rewarding to go home and to watch Jyn running around in a Rebels timeline, because I was just like, they can't deny it. It's canon. It's in the movies. Like, you don't have to like it, but it's there. It's the rule of thumb. So I kind of had a nice little laugh at that. That, and I tweeted about it, and people were like, yes, thank you. And then somebody was like, why does everybody hate Clone Wars? And I was like, those newfangled young Jedi on my lawn.
I'm guessing they just never watched it.
I can definitely see it's hard to get through the first couple seasons of both Rebels and Clone Wars. They're a lot more kiddish, and they're very adventure of the week. And I always tell people, fight through those first seasons, because it's just all groundwork. But once you start getting to season 2 in Clone Wars, that's where it really starts picking up. And same thing with Rebels. That's where, like, you know, like Ahsoka came in, and like the rebellion, they moved away from the Thal, and they started getting to the big rebellion. But I can see, I've heard a lot of people say that they've tried the first few episodes of Clone Wars and they couldn't get through it because it was so kiddish. And I get that. But you have to fight through that.
I don't know what you're missing.
I mean, if people are listening to us and we're 4 seasons in, they probably, they know this already. But still,
yeah,
it's,
I know.
It's still of the matter.
We're 77th episode or 78th episode.
Holy crap, it is a 78th episode.
We're working towards 100.
Yeah, we are. Man, we are 3/4 of the way there. But yeah, I really enjoy Forces of Destiny. I'll be interested to hear your mini thoughts about it, because, I mean, they're not really
I'll probably
deep.
Watch them tonight.
Yeah. The ones that I haven't liked the most, except for the last episode, because the last episode has Sabine and Leia together, but the Leia episodes haven't been super impressive to me, because one was with Ewoks, one was with Chewie, and the third one was Sabine, but it was cool because it was Sabine and Leia working together, so I really liked that one a lot. So, fun. We'll get there. So, Shadow Warrior, talk about your Grievy.
Yeah.
I'm talking about your Grievy. Excited.
Somewhat.
Oh.
Not the greatest Grievy episode. There's some moments.
I actually really was surprisingly liked this episode much more than I remembered that I liked this episode. I mean, it's still, not breaking any grounds or anything.
I'm holding my tongue because I got notes on it later, but yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get started then. Ready?
Yes.
All right. Shadow Warrior is the 70th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on September 30th, 2011. It was written by Daniel Arkin and directed by Brian Callen O'Connell. Some extra information for you. At one point, Shadow Warrior was considered to be the Season 4 premiere episode, but it was later shifted in favor with the Battle of Mon Cala story arc to have a more action-packed premiere. I'm so sorry, I'm about to butcher your name. Fred Tatasciore is the voice actor of Tarples. His other work includes Star Wars Rebels, Avengers Assemble, DC Superhero Girls, and the current Castlevania series on Netflix. I threw that out there because I saw on Facebook that our listener, Aaron Henley, has really gotten to the Castlevania series. I threw that in there for you, Aaron.
Okay.
Ahmed Best returns to voice both Jar Jar Binks and Boss Leone. Like in the last few episodes, Dave Filoni answered fan questions this time about this episode and the next two episodes. I'm only going to answer the question that refers to this episode. So the fan question was, how come there's a new boss of the Gungans in this episode, but in episode 3, Boss Nass is at the funeral of Padme? Dave Filoni says, the reason why Boss Nass is no longer in charge of the Gungans is because George Lucas wanted to tell a story where Jar Jar could easily be mistaken as the leader of the Gungans. George created Boss Leone, who looks just like Jar Jar. We could play this kind of Kurosawa Shadow Warrior switcheroo. That left Boss Nass, unfortunately, out in the cold. But Boss Nass is still around. He still lives in Otagunga. He still goes to all the parties. He plays a little golf here and there with Captain Typhoon. When his friend Padme Amidala passed away, he absolutely went to the funeral. Often, ex-presidents and heads of states will attend big banquets and funerals long after their president. It's not that when Boss Nass was no longer boss, he couldn't go to these functions. Padme's funeral was a big event. Everyone was there. Well,
Trump,
except for, obviously,
end,
Anakin.
There's no way he covered up right.
I just liked when he threw that in there. I was just like, oh.
That's true.
Oh, poor Anakin. But, yeah. You know who is also...
Boss.
Boss of his realm.
Boss of his sauce.
Boss of his saucy pants that are kind of squishy now because you've been wearing them afterwards. And
moist.
And it's really uncomfortable and kind of gross, but you have to get home somehow, and you gotta wear something on the way home, so you gotta sit in your sauces, and it's gross.
Swamp butt.
The swamp juices.
Mm.
Little swamp gas.
Yoda's biosphere.
Ew, it's gonna be like growing tiny algae.
Mm-hmm.
Little Yoda moss.
Symbiotic relationship.
Oh, do you have like a mossy butt? I bet he has a fuzzy butt.
You know he does.
No complaints have I had.
Yeah, it's like petting a shaved cat. You know, it's just
shaved
kind of...
Shaved cat.
Kind of like that shaved pussy. It's
delicious.
Just kind of like a little like prickly, but still kind of soft.
I think that delicious I just said sounded more like Pee-wee Herman.
Delicious.
I just saw that the longtime voice actor of Kermit the Frog has retired.
Yes.
That's sad.
I didn't even know that. I actually thought that Kermit was being done by Jim Henson's son, so I didn't even know that guy was doing Kermit. I always just assumed it was Jim Henson's son.
Yeah.
I can't keep up with them Muppets.
Oh, those damn Muppets.
Keep up with the Muppets.
What is our space platitude this week, Yoda?
Who a person truly is cannot be seen with the eye in bed.
What can it be seen with?
I don't know how I feel about this one, because like the first time I laugh at it, the more I look at it, I'm just like, it doesn't really make sense. Like, I get what it's saying, but I don't know how it pertains to the episode.
Well, it's talking about Jar Jar, I guess.
Yeah.
And the one voodoo gungan.
Voodoo gungan.
Voodoo gungan.
That's a new one. So.
It's almost like Oda Gunga.
Oda Gunga, voodoo gungan, Misa Oda Gunga. Well, you ready for act one?
I'm ready.
Okay. Act one. In case you haven't paid attention to the last three seasons, there's a war going on. On the planet that's hit super hard this week is Naboo, where resources and relations between people on the top side and the Gungans underwater are super rocky. There's been some rumors that the Gungans have been chatting up the Separatists and will possibly attack Naboo on the human side. Padme and Anakin are sent there to figure out what's up. They meet up with Jar Jar at the edge of the lake, and we all have some episode one feels that are either good or bad. Jar Jar tells him that he's super concerned. The new Gungan leader, Bus Leone, has been giving some fiery speeches about the people of Naboo and how it's everything's their fault, and how dare they live in the sun and live on land and breathe oxygen. We must attack them! Anakin and Padme hop in Jar Jar's ride, and they head down to the Gungan capital. Bus Leone gives his troops a big speech about how the Naboo people are super terrible and they treat the Gungans like dumb fish. But it's not a lie, right? Well, we all think they're dumb fish. It's fine. He's accompanied by a super stereotypical new minister, Rish Lu, who looks like a rejected witch doctor inhuman from Marvel. So we just know he's gotta be the one behind this. He's the bad guy. The troops leave with Rish Lu, who Anakin gives a huge stink eye at, and he says, "The wise speak only what they know, Rish Lu. A witless worm you have become. Therefore be silent and keep your forked tongue behind your teeth. I have not passed through fire and death to bandy crooked words with a serving man till the lightning falls." I'm just kidding, that was Gandalf the White talking to Grima Wordtongue and Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers. I just had to throw it in there, because, yeah. Anyway, Padme pleads with Bus Leone, and the boss won't hear them out. All three heroes realize the Gungan leader seems sort of drunk, and he's not all there, and he might be possessed. Maybe by a witch doctor guy. The bad guys should have been more subtle, because Bus Leone is wearing some evil bling that glows and flashes like a stoplight. Anakin rips it off, freeing Leone from its control. Just like we all suspected, Rish Lu is the mythic that who can use mind over matter powers. He gave the necklace to Bus Leone to control him. In his evil lair, Rish Lu tells Count Dooku the Separatists can invade Naboo soon. Dooku is like, "Way to go, girl! I'm so proud of you!" But not really, because I'm like I'm a Sith, so I'm only proud of myself. Self high five! Rish Lu hangs up on Dooku when he hears Bus Leone come in. Leone is all like, "You screwed up my brain!" And Rish is like, "No!" And Leone is like, Yes, you did! I was there!" And Rish is like, okay, maybe just a little bit. And you will be mine again!" And he waves his spirit fingers at the boss. Anakin senses a disturbance in the Force and rushes in. Assassin droids drop from the ceiling and attack Anakin and Padme. The boss and the Rish duke it out in the room. That is until Rish shanks Bus Leone with a knife, because this player ain't messing around. I cannot talk today. I cannot talk in my sassy voice. Player not messing around. Anakin chases Rish out, leaving Padme and Bus Leone. Rish Rish is the word that keeps tripping me up. Rish manages to get to a ship and get away. Leonie is gravely hurt, unconscious, and not got a chance to call and hasn't had the chance to call off the attack yet. The attack still will happen. Jar Jar falls over, because he's Jar Jar, and stands up wearing the boss's crown. He looks just like Boss Leonie. And Anakin suddenly gets an idea that will either go really well for them or burn up in flames because of Jar Jar. And Anakin wants Jar Jar to play Boss Leonie and stop the attack from happening. What do you think of Act 1?
It was pretty weird.
It's a very long act, too. It was about almost the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
How do you mean by weird, though? Because, like, I like that it's a little bit different, because, like, we've had so many, like, a lot of the same repeated storylines, so it's nice that it's something kind of different. I mean, they're still, like, treading a lot of waters. Like, the moment you see Rish Lu, like, you're like, oh, he's the bad guy, because he looks it.
Yeah, he's got a bone through his nose.
And he's stroking his ears evilly. I mean, but at the same time, I like that they're changing it up a little bit. So, like, what do you mean by it's weird?
Well, his name is also it reminds me of, I want to say he was one of the guys who did one of the, like, cardinals or something in the Spanish Inquisition, who used to torture people. His name, Rish Lu.
You say cardinals, and I thought baseball, and I was like, what?
No, I'm talking more cardinals, like, no one expects, like, a Spanish Inquisition style.
Is he Jason Hayward? Hey, Jay. Hey.
Anakin's ship kind of looks like has kind of a separatist design on it.
That was my very first note, is I don't like the design of... You're talking about his ship in the opening credits,
opening. I thought the design of it was visually neat. Practically, it was kind of dumb, but...
Yeah, because I was like, you shoot off the pilot seat at the top and the entire ship will crash. Just shoot off that top part and you're fine. That's how you beat that ship. And then when it lands, it looks like a big swan because it has a fat body and a long neck.
I don't know what... But it looks like the Separatist ships, like the scene of him flying and landing on Naboo reminded me of the Separatist ships landing on Naboo in Episode 1. So it was like he had the opposite sort of design work on his ship. Although it was neat, it has a neat view when you're like way up on top of that long neck of it, you know. Maybe for some reason they use that. Maybe for some reason when landing on a planet like Naboo, you need a better, more panoramic view when you're flying it for some reason. I don't know.
It could go underwater, so that top part was almost like a periscope on a submarine.
Or it'll sit above the trees a little bit so you can see around you when you land or something like that. There's probably... In design land, when they were designing it and stuff, they probably had reasons for all that stuff, because they usually do.
Yeah, the reason I was thinking that they probably had that ship, because in the scene after that, when they get to Boss Leonie's lair, Padme and Anakin kind of hide behind Jar Jar and General Tarples as everybody's leaving, so I think they were sneaking there, so I think they used a ship that's not a normal Republic ship, because they were going there secretly. That's how I took it.
Sly, yeah.
Yeah.
Voodoo Gungan... It kind of reminds me of the Skeksis in, what was that? It was a Muppet movie. It was a Jim Henson movie, the Dark Crystal. Except he has a little bit of Zero in his voice. Did you notice that? He's got a little bit of that southern accent in his voice.
I've never seen the Dark Crystal, and I really want to.
Oh, it's a good movie. From your point of view... Like, as someone who's done stage work and costume work, I mean, it's a big puppet show. You know what I mean? It's little puppets and full body puppets, and they basically filmed it like, you know, pre-CGI. So they had to rig up everybody live, wandering around, and you know, it's the Muppets. So, like, it's like they're not going to add the special effects later on. They figure out how to portray it all, you know, puppet style. So it's a really neat movie.
Yeah, like that and Labyrinth, I haven't seen either.
I've never seen Labyrinth either.
Oh, cool. People can judge us together.
Yes. My only other note was there was a nice little soundtrack callback when they go underwater to the underwater city to the underwater music in episode one, which was neat.
That's cool. I didn't notice that, but
episode one is officially old enough now that you can get nostalgic. You can have your nostalgia for it triggered.
Is it old enough to like have a driver's license?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. 1999, right? It's definitely old enough to have a permit.
Is it old enough to buy liquor yet?
No. Can it vote? You can't buy liquor yet. I don't think it can buy liquor. I don't think it's 18 yet. And
didn't it just have its 20th anniversary?
It came out in 99. So 2019, I think, would be the 20th anniversary.
I'm checking episode one. It helps if I spell episode one right. I put W Pusode I. W Pusode. Yeah, you're right. It's 1999. And why was everybody celebrating it this year? Because I know it's the 40th anniversary.
They just can't wait. They just can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, I know everybody was like celebrating it, so. So it's 2 years short of being 20. So yeah, it can vote. It just can't buy liquor yet. So yeah,
you can smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
Little Annie can have a like smoke with there. R2.
Everyone's like, "Let me play the pod race game," and he's just like, "I guess."
Watto just comes out like, "Hey, you're 18 years old. Here you go. Smoke 'em up, buddy."
The poor like VHS is trying to like rewind itself, trying to get its life back together, and then the classy like Blu-rays walk by and they're like, "Old man." He's like, "You damn hipsters with your high definition."
But yeah, that's all I had for the first part.
We're just going on tangents.
I know.
Oh, this is fun. I might have done some drinking in celebration of my own achievements tonight. Show. I did a little light drinking before the show because I had reason to celebrate myself. So, it's just, so my notes are, this is a super petty note, but when Jar Jar's ship comes out of the water, there's a Pokemon called Chinchou, and it looks like a Chinchou. I was just like, oh, he's driving a Chinchou ship. Maybe. I threw it in the notes, the whole Gandalf the White Grim and Wormtongue thing, because that whole opening scene reminds me of Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, when King Theoden is being brainwashed by Grim and Wormtongue.
Yeah, but they resolve it much easier and faster in this one.
Yeah. I mean, it's 22 minutes opposed to, what, like 3.5 hours?
Because, yeah, I like that they got it away right out of the way, because right off the bat I was thinking, what? You know, I actually had it as a note, but then I scratched it out because the story took care of the note going, really? The Gungans are thinking about aiding the Separatists? They were just kicking their ass in the last arc, you know?
Yeah.
They just came in to fight the Separatists, so why would that? That doesn't make any sense. And then it does make sense because he's possessed, so.
Yeah.
Question answered.
Yeah, but.
But I'm glad that they got it over with. You know, that didn't become like a long story element. It was just like Anakin's like, oh, boom, that's fixed. Now let's find where'd you get this? Okay, let's go get this guy. It was like, all right, this is moving, you know.
Can you imagine 3 episodes of Jar Jar pretending to be the butt leader?
It could have been easily this whole first episode could have been them trying to figure out what was going on with Boss Leone and all that.
I know, that's why I said, like, I'm happy that they're doing things a little bit different, because that could have easily been a storyline of, like, season 2 or 3. It would have been like that, but, like, they're kind of changing up their formats a little bit, you know? It's not every episode that one of the people gets shanked in the first 7 minutes.
Yes, yep. Second episode in a row.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Second arc in a row.
I forgot about Prince Charlie's dad getting shanked by Sharkin.
Yep.
I forgot about that. I've already blocked up Moncala.
Two shankings in the first 2 arcs.
This is going to be a stabby kind of season.
And those are just the shankings of the leaders. There's other shankings. There's going to
be a lot of like, get your shivs ready, bitches.
We're not done with shankings for this episode.
So I had to laugh because I was totally kidding a few episodes ago when I made that Darth Jar Jar theory. about how he went with the Gungan army to Mon Cala to get them out of the way to make Naboo easy to invade. I was totally kidding, and I literally made it up like that day that we recorded. And so while it wasn't true, here we are. The Separatists are trying to invade Naboo through the Gungans. I didn't mean to, but it happened. So my stupid theory came true.
You're going down a slippery slope.
I know. So Darth Jar Jar strikes again. You play that music for 5 whole seconds
you
for
know
me,
it's
Honeywell.
Playing.
You play that music for me, Honeywell. I had to laugh because I was like, holy shit, it happened. I didn't mean to. Oops. It is kind of cool to see more creatures have a magical kind of side, like the Night Sisters. And here's Richelieu with the newest example. And so, like while they never really go into it, like, we don't know if he's actually magical or if he just found a magical item. But he does actually wiggle his fingers and start putting...
Right, no, he knows some magic tricks, for sure.
Yeah, and so I'm wondering if maybe it's another element of the Force, or if it's more magic, or is the Force and magic still kind of the same thing?
I vote for same thing.
Yeah, because the reason why I question that is you haven't seen it yet, and I haven't read it yet. But when I was watching the fan questions for this episode featurette to find this one, there is a creature in either next week's episode or the episode after it. But somebody asked Dave Filoni if this creature is a Force user, and he said, no, she uses magic. And I was like, what? What? Isn't the magic the Force? And so I guess in some instances there are separately, but I took this as Richelieu.
It's like he's thinking with DC Comics, where it's like, oh, the only thing that, like, Superman, you know, can counteract Superman's powers is magic and stuff, you know. Yeah, I would think all magic on some level would be Force use, you know. The Force is sort of such a wide net of a description of the energy of the universe, that if you were doing anything, you know, or maybe, but magic should just be another designation of it, you know? I mean,
yeah,
at the same point with like, say, you know, Christians or Muslims or something, it's called prayer, but with voodoo, it's called, you know, they're doing spells and stuff like that. And you could, You know, when you start getting into the New Age people, they would say, oh, well, they're doing the same thing. They're just taking it with a different approach, you know, or whatever. So you could, calling it magic could, I guess, not necessarily divorce it from the Force. I don't know. That's how I want it. So that's how I'm sticking.
Yeah, I'm feeling that, like, maybe it's just something that there's not a big, like, this is still probably kind of early on and then kind of, because we've only really had the Night Sisters up to this point. And so, there's probably still, at this time period, they were probably still kind of defining these, like, is magic the Force? Are they the same thing? That's how I would take it. And Richelieu, I would argue, is almost like Jedi mind-tricking Boss Leone. So I would say he's more of a Force user, but probably just way more milder than, say, like, a Jedi or a Sith, or even the Night Sisters. I would say he's way lower than that.
Yeah, he was a Force user, but he needed, like, a crystal or an energy source to increase it enough to actually do the Jedi mind trick on someone else. And he seemed to be doing it more psychically rather than, you know, like, the Jedi mind trick is you're feeding information and then they spit it right back out. So you're like, you're going to open that door, I'm going to open the door, you know. Whereas he seemed to be more like remote controlling him.
Yeah. So, and my final note is there's a little line where they're like, Jar Jar, you're going to be Boss Leone. You look exactly alike. And Jar Jar's like, we don't look anything alike. And I just thought, these damn white humans think all of us Gungans look alike.
I thought that was going to be a plot point where, you know, get him in front of everybody and all the other Gungans go, that's Jar Jar.
I know, that's what I thought too.
That would have been a really funny twist in it, and just have Anakin just be like, I don't know, they all look alike to me or whatever, but, you know. And it might not just be white humans. I'll bet you if what Blanket Windu was there, they'd all look alike to him, too. It's more of a, you know, when you start dealing with, like, Gungans and humans, it's, you could just say, damn humans.
Yeah, now I kind of just want an episode where, like, Lando and Wet Blanket, you have to switch places or something.
Or they could have had, like, a little thing
where... Of
course,
Lando's not born, so probably not born by this time, but still.
Or you could have had a joke where one of the Gungans starts talking to Padme and calling her Anakin and stuff and be like, I don't know, you're a human.
That would have been awesome!
You look like a human to me, you know?
All you humans look alike.
Yeah.
You saw all likes. You just have bigger chest. He have bigger hair.
Yeah, but yeah, that doesn't really work because Gungan ladies have boobs too. So
yeah, I know.
Figure out the boob connection.
I have to say, I like with some of the Gungan ladies, they take their ears and they put them in like ponytails, and it's really cute.
Yeah,
I really like that. It's a nice little touch. I noticed that a couple times in the episode with the Gungan ladies had ponytails with their ears, and that's really cute. So
speaking
nice
of Gungan one. Ladies, I would have liked to seen what's her name come back.
From the Blue Waffle. Oh, what's your name? It's right on the edge of my tongue.
I know, me too. It ends in a Y sound, that's all I remember.
Yeah, it's a P sound. Peppy.
Peppy, yeah.
Yeah, Peppy. I would have loved to see Peppy back.
I love Peppy.
Maybe the whole fight took
Even
place
though
like,
I can't remember her name.
Maybe the whole fight took place on her land, and she just, like, comes out there, and she's like, use the damn droids on my land! And she, like, sticks her cows on them. Man, it's sad that Peppy doesn't come back at all. I think that's her only appearance is the Blue Waffle Virus episodes. I really liked her a lot. Anyway, Act 2?
Act 2.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Act 2.
Oh, I'm so ready.
The stage is set for battle as the Gungan army gathers outside the human city of Theed. Richlu spreads lies that Bastilione is dead, and well, they should do the last thing he said, which was go attack the humans and stuff. Oh, and we're fighting with the Separatists, so I hope that's okay. And the Gungans are dumb, and they have no problem with it. Anakin and Jar Jar hide in the bushes like a couple of losers. Anakin's all like, get your ass out there! And Jar Jar is like, I'm super insecure about this! And Anakin's like, people are going to die if you don't. And Jar Jar is like, it's a war! People are dying anyway! Just how things have done in my Jar Jar plans! What? Nothing! Anakin shoves Jar Jar out there, and the Gungans are like, the boss! He lives! And Richlu just about has a cow. And Jar Jar is like, hey, you guys! I'm like a totally Boss Leone. So, we shouldn't attack because I wasn't thinking clearly. So, yeah, no attacker! And the Gungans are all for it. And Anakin's like, holy shit! My stupid plan is working. Oh my god. I can't wait to boast to Obi-Wan about this. Go me. And Jar Jar declares it was Richlu angering the Gungan armies because it's all Richlu's fault. And Richlu hops on a speeder to escape. Anakin wrangles up his noble steed, a Kadoo, and gives chase. It auto-corrected my Kadoo. It's K-A-A-D-U, not K-A-D-U-U. Why did it correct that to the wrong spelling of something that's not English?
That's
anyway,
not even a word, yeah.
I know. Good job. Good job, word. But oh no, the Separatist ship arrives because no one told them that the battle was canceled. The tactical droid is like, what's this about our canceled brunch battle? And Jar Jar says he will speak to their general. Who's waiting for him on the ship? Freaking General Grievous. And Chris rejoices. I was waiting for you to be like, woo. I like the cough, though. That's better. Jar Jar plays with his chair to do anything under the sun to not talk to General Grievous. But he has no choice but to address the guy. And Grievous is like, do you seriously know how much money it took me to get here? I destroyed like 7 ships in the process and fled them in my ride and then picked up another one just to crash it again. I'm going to attack Naboo, whether you like it or not. Cough, cough, cough. And Jar Jar is like, hold that thought. And he calls over General Tarples. I like my Jar Jar impression. I'm sorry. He calls over General Tarples and tells him to go out and do the big troop thing that they had arranged. Luckily, Tarples can speak Jar Jar, and he leaves. Jar Jar is like, okay, General Grievous, Misa gonna help you attack the Naboo. Grievous growls at him. Outside, Tarples calls Padme, informing her that General Grievous is there. Padme tells him that they must capture Grievous. The droids still think that the Gungans are working with him. He will need to tell the droids to shut down and then capture Grievous. Tarples says that he will do anything they can to capture the general because he believes in the friendship of the Gungan and Naboo. And friendship is magic! My Little Pony used to wonder what friendship could be. Anyway, what'd you think of Act 2?
I only had, like, well, once again, I had a hard time telling when the station breaks were on this.
Yeah, this is another weird one.
So now that I, like, have been able to draw a line between one act and another, I find I only have one note for this, and that's Grievy versus Jar Jar.
It's a really weirdly interesting scene.
It was a weirdly interesting scene, and that was sort of what made this whole episode, what gave this episode the most appeal for me, was... It didn't play out like it could have been Jar Jar set about some stupid, you know, chain of events by tripping over something and screwed up Grievous's ship or something, you know?
Yeah.
Or it could have gone really dark. But, you know, they're developing Jar Jar into slightly more tougher and savvy Jar Jar. I mean, tougher isn't... I mean, it's not like he's tough, but he's definitely learns... He's not the Jar Jar of episode one, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So it's actually an interesting scene, and I like that Grievous starts it right out with, like, you know how much money this costs me? You almost expect him to start breaking down and being like, listen, you idiot, I can't fail again. You know how... You know, I mean, Dooku thinks about me, you moron. You know, it would.
In a way, it's kind of developing Grievous too, because like normally Grievous, you would expect him to be like, "Fight with me or you die." But he's just like, "Look, I'm a leader. This costs money to be here. Like, seriously, what are we doing?"
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
like, I wasn't expecting that from Grievous.
Well, and neither was I. But you know, when I think about it, it's a totally natural because. Somewhere Grievous was, you know, doing his calisthenics and, you know, morning gore, and he got a little holoscope from Dooku saying, oh, it's time, here's a mission for you, okay, and he gathered up the troops, rallied all that, gave them their speech, said we're going back to Naboo where it all began, let's go kick some ass, I'm gonna get those guys that pissed us off at the very beginning, blah, 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 and then he gets there and they're like, yeah, nah, we don't want to do it, you know. It must be very frustrating for him. So that was a neat little scene. It was a little too obvious that he like sort of like tipped his hat, you know, or you know, gave a little nod and a wink to like, oh yeah, we're gonna help you. Go out and help him. Wink, wink. That was a little like Grievous was a little too much of a sucker for that. But then again, Grievy is kind of a sucker when you get right down to it.
You know, I compare that scene, I don't know if I'm just, like, on a Lord of the Rings Hobbit kick, but that the Jar Jar Grievous talk reminded me of Gollum and Bilbo. Only if Bilbo was a crazy evil metal guy and Gollum was Jar Jar. Because there's a ton of stakes on the line here. And Jar Jar, if you didn't know the outcome of Episode 3, has a really good chance of getting killed. And so to me, I mean, that is really the most interesting moment of the episode because they're two very drastically different characters. I never knew before this episode that I really wanted Grievous and Jar Jar Binks in a scene together and, like, having a conversation because Jar Jar, this is hot because I think some of the best Jar Jar because he's doing all his little silly antics, like adjusting his chair and, like, trying to buy time, but he's doing what Jar Jar does best, which is stall for time and being that character that's trying to give them as much time as they can because he's good at that.
Well, and Grievous is probably so vain that he's like, ah, look at this guy. He's so scared of me. He's squirming, you know. He doesn't think about it, you know, as he's being deceptive or you know, masquerading.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I really enjoyed, like, that to me was actually my favorite scene of the entire episode was Grievous and Jar Jar having a conversation.
No, I agree. It was. That was what made the, that's what made me like this episode.
Yeah. The rest of my notes were mildly shallow. Every time they kept talking about the city of Theed, I kept thinking that they were saying Thneed with an N, Thneed, and I just kept thinking about the Lorax movie from a few years back, and I kept wanting to sing the Thneedville song, like, in Thneedville, it's a brand new dawn. Every time they said Theed, I kept singing the Thneedville song. It's perfect, and that's how it will say, oh yeah, got all week in Thneedville, guess what we will see, Ville, blah, blah, in Thneedville. Like, I was just singing the song every time they said it. I do have to wonder where the sudden burst of Jar Jar insecurities are coming from, because he's a student helper, and he's aided Bail Organa and Padme many times before, he's been on many dangerous missions, he's helped with negotiations, and he fought in battles, and now in front of his own people, he's being shy?
I'd be shy, too, because everybody else is like, yeah, go ahead, dress it would be like someone saying, pretend you're the president and go out there and tell people this, you know?
Yeah,
it might be a good idea, might not, you know, at the time, might not be a good idea in his people, you know, it could be one of those things of like, well, Jar Jar, you saved the planet, but now according to our laws, we have to kill you for sedition, you know, or something like that, you know, if it doesn't work out and he screws things up, then he's in even super deeper trouble because he impersonated the boss and messed things up. So yeah, I would have a bit of stress and insecurity about doing it.
I guess I could see that, and like, it's again that missed opportunity where he could walk out there and they'd be like, "Is that Boss Leone? No, it's Jar Jar." So I guess I could see that. That's a good point. I started realizing though about halfway through that we're about four episodes in, and I'm already starting to miss Obi-Wan already. And then I realized Obi-Wan doesn't show up in season 4 till episode 11.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's not here for over half of the season. And I was just like, Obi-Wan, no! I love Obi-Wan. I don't know if I can tolerate Anakin that much. I like Anakin, but he does get on my nerves at times.
And once again, Anakin is not... he's sort of doing his thing, but he's not the driving character in this episode. He's just sort of there to do his thing, you know.
Same thing with Padme. Padme's not really. I mean, Padme does give Tarple. Actually, Padme does more. She gives Tarples the idea to shut down all the droids. If he hadn't have done that, God, the Gungan army would have probably been wiped out fast. So Padme, I think, did more than Anakin did. We'll see next act that Anakin really doesn't do a lot.
I mean, they do things, but they're not getting like a character arc, you know, or any of that. They're just they're sort of along for the ride, and the focus on this one's like Jar Jar and Grievous and Tarples and Voodoo Gungan, Rish Lau.
How do you feel about that? Because like, you
I'm
know,
fine
we
with
out...
it. I think at this point they have it's a sort of necessary shift that they have to do, because they are, instead of doing the cartoon show thing and pretending that like, all right, you know, we could do 24 years of Clone Wars cartoons. They know that they have a limited time before they're gonna. You know, they know that as more Clone Wars cartoons come out, you're getting closer to episode 3. So there's, you know, you just can't do, you don't want to do too much, you don't want to develop their characters beyond episode 3, so you just relegate them not to the background, but not to the focus of the stories, and we're four seasons in, they've formed a nice group of characters that you can do that with, you know, that people are actually invested in and more invested in, because now some of them could die, you know.
Yeah.
So So I think it's just sort of a natural, like, storytelling decision that they did. And I think it works. I think it was a good decision.
Yeah, because, like, in the opening season, like, especially season one, it's Anakin, Obi-Wan, Padme, and Ahsoka. They're really the four main characters. And it's three out of four of those are legacy characters. They're from the movies. They anchor the show. But through them, we got to know these other characters. Like, we saw Ahsoka grow. We've gotten to know Rex. We've gotten more information on General Grievous. Dooku doesn't do anything. But now it's kind of fun because they can play with these other characters. Because, you know, because people hated Jar Jar Binks so much that they really limited him in episode two. He had no lines in episode three. And so now they can actually take this opportunity to really develop his character more. Did you ever read Jar Jar's canon, like, finale?
No.
Oh my god, it's so sad. Because after the Empire rises and the Emperor rises and stuff like that, his people pretty much kicked him out. Because they were like, you know, you were friends,
yeah,
you
nice
should have helped Padme.
Yep.
Yeah, they were like, you should have helped Padme, you should have... you know, like, you should have prevented this more. You were part of it. You were part of the Senate. So they pretty much, like, throw him out of the city. And it's this little story of Jar Jar, like, on a street corner, homeless, and he's juggling for money just to eat, and this little boy walks up to him, and he's just like, who are you? And, he makes friends with this little boy. And a lot of people are starting to think that this little boy is Emperor Snoke because of theories, and people do that. But it's really sad. He becomes like a homeless man.
Well, I think he's back. He's probably back where he was before episode one when he was kicked out, you know?
Yeah. So it's just, I like, Jar Jar's, like, canon ending is, like, really super sad. To the point where a child has to take pity on him. So, yeah. My only other note was I could hear you squealing in delight to see Gravy again on your screen.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And he looks nice.
And he looks super shiny.
Yes, he does.
Well, are you ready to wrap this puppy up?
Yeah, let's get to the nitty-gritty.
All right. So, act three. So, Anakin's out in the wild green yonder, chasing down Rishlu. Scouting droids shoot his noble Steve, who I have now named Bob. And Bob falls. And Anakin quickly takes out the scout droids. He leaves Bob behind, and he continues on foot. Meanwhile, Jar Jar is quickly pissing off Grievous, who just wants to slaughter puppies and toddlers. He has very simple needs. And Grievous figures out that Jar Jar isn't Boss Leone and throws a table across the room. While Grievous is evilly monologuing, Jar Jar is like, bye, boy! And he flees for his life. Luckily, Captain or General Tarple? General Tarples is waiting for Grievous outside. All the battle droids have been shut down. It's Grievous versus the entire Gungan army. I feel really bad for the Gungans at the moment. Tarples engages Grievous on a one-on-one fight and does a relatively good job, you know, for fighting a lightsaber with a wooden spear. But he did bring a stick to a lightsaber fight, and he gets shanked in the end. Tarples has one last dying trick up his sleeve. He crams the spear through Grievous's machinery, stunning the droid man. The Gungans throw electro balls, bringing him down, and Grievous is down on the ground. They pin his legs with spears and drag him away as he screams "Rawr!" in the night. Padme arrives out of nowhere and goes to the fallen Tarples. I guess friendship isn't magic and it can't save everything, so suck it, Twilight Sparkle. Grievous pinned down, it looks like the heroes have won. But oh no! Palpatine and Dooku are Snapchatting each other. They decide to set up a trap for Anakin. Anakin is still running through the jungle and finds Rishlu's speeder. He finds a laboratory built into the mountainside and follows Rishlu, who is very obviously acting sneaky. And Anakin goes inside the laboratory. Dooku pops up and he's all like, hey, Anakin, what's up? Welcome to my crib. And Rishlu is like, wait, this is my house. And Dooku is like, not if you're dead. And he stabs him. And Dooku is like, sorry you had to see that. By the way, the Sith are everywhere and we're going to be back. We're going to go back where this all began on Naboo. And we shall fight. And they battle. And Dooku brings his Magna Droids to the party. Anakin is quickly overwhelmed and gets captured. Down in the Gungan city, Jar Jar and Padme are getting worried where Anakin is. Padme's communicator beeps, but it's Dooku calling her. Dooku is like, "Did you see my new Instagram filters? Aren't they cool?" And Padme is like, "Where's my boo, you creep?" And Dooku's like, "Oh, it's a business then. I have Anakin, and you have my metal general. Let's trade these, or Anakin dies." And Padme says no, and she hears Anakin getting shocked in the background. And she's like, "You can't torture a prisoner." And Dooku's like, "Aw, that's adorable. Hey, droids, she doesn't think I can torture a prisoner. Isn't that funny? You guys don't care, you're droids. I'll give you an hour to think it over, Padme." An hour later, out in the fields, the Queen of Naboo, Padme, Jar Jar, and the Gungan army meets as Dooku's ship arrives. They have an even exchange, returning Anakin to Padme and Grievous back to the Separatists. The episode ends with everyone giving props to Jar Jar for stopping a war a second time between the Naboo and the Gungans. The end.
So does that mean that this is just a one-and-done episode?
I think so, because the next episode, the next two episodes are a two-parter.
Okay.
And then, so there's not a lot of one-and-dones at this point in the series. I think there's one other one-and-done for the rest of this season, and then the rest are 3 to 4 episode arcs.
Right.
I guess you could say this is kind of tied into the Mon Cala arc because it's chronologically right after it. But, I mean, it has nothing to do with the Mon Cala arc, so.
Man, the Gungans are way better at fighting General Grievous than Jedi are.
I know, right? That was one of my notes, was go Gungans. I make fun of them a lot, but God, they brought down Grievous
no,
really.
No, Grievous has a collection of Jedi lightsabers, but, like, the Gungans take him down with only one death, you know?
I think, like, one other guy got sliced, so. But, I mean, still, yeah, I mean, like.
Not bad at all, yeah. It didn't take him long. As a matter of fact, I think Grievy and Anakin got caught a little too conveniently for the story in this one. They were a little too easy to capture. And once again, the second shanking assassination and the second arc, or second time that this season that Anakin ends up hanging up getting shocked.
I thought about that too. I didn't put it in my notes, but I was like, man, Anakin's just getting his ass handed to him this season.
And I literally LOL'd. When she said, "You cannot torture a prisoner," it's just like, oh, right, yeah. Good one, Padme. That's going to stop him right there.
It's not like Dooku's going to be like, "Oh, you're right. Let me remember the rules of war."
I liked their energy globe handcuff head cuff for Grievous. It's like, why put one on his head? Is he gonna bite you? You know, is he like Hannibal Lecter?
One of shame.
Yeah, I think it was just to humiliate him, which is funny.
Yeah.
What's funny is then when they make the trade, he's going back to his ship and he's like, "Hey, it's like, don't laugh, dude. You just got humiliated again. You gotta go back to Dooku and do Dooku some groveling." I wouldn't be chuckling if I were you.
You know, I bet Dooku made him wear that the whole trip back home.
Yeah. Can you turn this thing off? Sure, eventually.
And so thinking about the Gungans and, like, fighting Dooku and stuff like that, you know, I'm sure, Grievous is, like, really super full of themselves, and they mostly have sticks and energy throwers, and that's really all the Gungans have.
They work with energy. They have energy force field technology, you know. But everything is based on that sort of energy wall, you know.
Yeah, so I'm sure he was not expecting, like, I'm going to stab this guy and he's going to cram a spear through my metal body. So I mean, I'm sure he's used to fighting Jedi and they're so like trained and stuff like that. He's like, the Gungans fight a little bit more unorthodoxly. And it was probably harder to predict, so I got to give that props to those Gungans.
I can't believe that they don't use the Gungan technology in the Clone Wars, because it's made, you know, from episode one we saw, they have those balls of energy that just, you know, frazzle and fry out machines. So that's perfect for battling droids. So why they didn't, you know, adopt that technology you know, and start having big catapults of energy balls to shoot at droid armies. That would have been really cool.
Yeah, though they were preparing to attack the Naboo, so maybe they didn't bring it.
Well, that's the thing is, I'm just saying the clones. The clones should be like, hey, can we buy some of those from you? You know?
That's what you're saying. I guess they kind of did that in the Zillow Beast episode when they pretty much dropped an EMP on a bunch of droids. True. But I mean, that's the only time it was really ever used, and I'm sure it's expensive as hell. And after they unearthed a Zillow Beast, they were probably like, huh, what else lives under the planet?
Right.
So let's not do that again. But then Palpatine was just like, I want more Zillow Beast. Find me more. More.
And why at the end would they give him back his lightsaber?
That's
true. That was really nice of him.
That was very nice of them.
Even though they just sort of dismissively tossed it at him, it's just like, hey, thanks, dude. Good looking out there, droid. You know? They could have very easily kept it. It wouldn't have, the deal was done. They could have kept his lightsaber, and Anakin could have been like, hey, I need that lightsaber back, and, you know, Dooku could have been like, yeah, I'll get right on that.
That's true, because then he would have to build a new lightsaber.
Uh-huh.
I guess so that, you know, very technical fans would have noticed it. Like, if he had, a different lightsaber right. all throughout the Clone Wars up until this episode, and then he suddenly got a new one. That was, his episode 4 one. So, well, I guess it'd be Luke's episode 4 one, but
right.
I guess they didn't think about it, and then they were like, oh, crap, he needs his lightsaber. They should have just left it on his belt.
Yeah, definitely. So, that's all I got for this last act, which was actually my most notes for the whole episode, but it wasn't my favorite act. The second act was my favorite act.
So my notes, is this a good Jar Jar episode? I'm feeling yes, mostly because the opening act with Jar Jar being subdued and he's worried about this attack, and we don't usually get to see that serious side of him. And then he does a really great conversation with Grievous and keeping him busy and stuff like that. Because that's what Jar Jar does best, and he doesn't do really a lot of fighting, but he's very, to me, useful in this episode in doing what Jar Jar does best.
I thought it was a good Jar Jar episode.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's not actively annoying, it's a good Jar Jar episode, and he's, you know, I like this better. There's no juggling in this one, so I would put this in the good Jar Jar category for sure.
I already reminded you enough that I'm right about that episode.
Right, that's what happened.
I do really wish they would have cut... There's one very quick scene right in the middle where Anakin's riding his steed, Bob, and the scout droids show up and they shoot Bob, and then Anakin runs off. It's about a 30-second scene. I wish they would take in those 30 seconds and put in the Grievous fight, just to make it a little bit longer so Grievous wouldn't go down like a punk so fast.
Yeah. I'm always really nice. For more Grievous.
You know, because they could have, kept that, you know, Anakin chases Richelieu and then shows up later in the episode, and then taking that 30 seconds and, stuck into the Grievous fight to make it a little bit longer. Maybe it was a little bit easier to animate, I don't know, maybe they just didn't think about it, but I would have much rather put that into a Grievous fight and have him, slaughtering more. I was waiting for him to, run into just a mess of Gungans,
just whirling. Flinging him into the air.
Or just, whirling his four lightsabers like a buzzsaw, just running through Gungans. Man, we are very Carnage-focused tonight.
Grievous is back.
Can we have another episode of Grievous and Jar Jar talking, and they're just tied together, and they have to help each other out or something, please?
I want it.
I want it, too.
I know they already did it with Dooku and Obi-Wan, but I still want it. Was it Dooku and Obi-Wan, or was it Dooku and Anakin? It was Dooku and Obi-Wan, wasn't it?
It was Dooku, Anakin, and Obi-Wan. Yeah, it was the three of them tied together at Hondo's palace. That was such a good episode.
I know, it seems so long ago.
It was so long ago. It was it was season one, so yeah. We're season four, so it was last year. So it was so long ago. So looking back at my extra information notes, this episode chronologically takes place after the Mon Cala Civil War, but they had mentioned that they had considered this being the season opener. And I would have actually much rather this be the season opener opposed to the Mon Cala Civil War, because I think it packs a little bit more punch. You have characters like Grievous and Dooku come back. It's a one-off. It's a one-and-done. But at the same time, with the Mon Cala Civil War, they aired the first two together in an hour-long arc. And then the third one came the week afterwards. But I think this would have made a much better season opener.
Yeah, well, it would have been a one and done. I don't know, but you know me. I like the water arc, the Mon Calamari arc, better than you did. So
it's not bad. It's just okay. No. It's mediocre. So, I'm not sure, but I think I might have found a continuity error, but I don't remember. Did the Jedi know in episode 2 that the Sith were back, or was that saved and not revealed until episode 3?
No, they knew in episode 2. It's stated in the last scene when they're burning Qui-Gon in
episode 1.
In episode 1. Yeah, they're just like, there's, you know, the Sith are back, and, you know, oh, there's always two of them, you know. So, yeah, they were aware for sure.
Okay, then never mind. Because my note was when, like, Dooku was like, the Sith are everywhere. I was like, wait, I thought they didn't know the Sith were there. But I couldn't remember. So never mind. That note's null and void. So there's a moment where, like, Anakin's fighting Dooku and, like, the door's behind him. And I was just like, Anakin, just leave. Because if he would have left then, or at least even tried to escape, he wouldn't have gotten captured.
That's not Anakin, though. Anakin was like, Anakin would take, you know, if he sees Dooku, instantly his, you know, his focus shifts to, like, I'm going to kill or capture this guy, you know?
Yeah.
He has a chance to cut off the head, you know?
I guess he also didn't know that Grievous was captured.
That too, yeah.
But I was just like, Anakin, you got caught really easy, hon. That was really easy for Count Dooku. Though I like Count Dooku fighting. Like, there's some parts of the fights, like, he didn't even bring out his lightsaber. He would just dodge and throw him against the wall. So, okay, I want to play the what-if game. Ready? What if? What if Padme decided to do the not-personal thing and did not trade Grievous for Anakin and decided to keep Grievous? What would have happened?
I don't think it would have been much different, except they would have had Grievous and Anakin would have escaped eventually. If Anakin didn't escape on his own, Palpatine would set it up, you know, where there's like something, you know, we're transferring him to this place and then he would hire pirates to come and steal, you know, Anakin would get loose somehow. And generally, you know, I think Palpatine would have enough confidence that, like, Anakin is, even though he just got captured by Dooku and Grievous, he's still way their superior, and he would generally... And plus, I imagine there's a lot of, like, what he's doing is based on his visions and ideas of the future, so he's, like, probably like, Anakin's gonna be around, you know, around for a while, so I don't think he would be really worry too much about, you know, them torturing Anakin to death or assassinate, you know. I mean, when it came down to, like, okay, well, they don't do the trade, it's time to kill him, you know, I'm sure Palpatine would get to Dooku, would get to Grievous, and they were like, no, we have better plans for him, he's more valuable alive, or whatever, and why, it's not, you know, don't worry, it's not for you to know, or something. But I think they definitely could have worked around it pretty easily.
Yeah, I was thinking something along those lines, too. Like, I don't foresee Palpatine letting Anakin get killed in the long run. And then I just thought, as you were talking, to free Grievous, they could have just got Cad Bane again. We could have had another Cad Bane episode.
Yeah. Oh, that would be nice.
That would be so
especially
nice.
Especially with the new animation.
And, like, Cad Bane and Grievous together, and they have to work together. Oh, that would be awesome. I'd been down for that. And my only other note was what we stated, like, right at the very beginning. They implemented the new technology, and the animation looks great.
Yeah, it definitely took a step up.
So, that's all I had. Did you want to score up this episode, huh?
I'm ready.
Okay, you go first.
I gave this one a lower score than last month. I know that might be surprising to you. I gave it a 7.5, which is still a decent score. And that's and that was mostly for Grievous versus Jar Jar. You know, the Grievous Jar Jar scene was really neat, and the good visuals. Otherwise, it's a fairly normal to better than normal, with a few, you know, the glitches to it were what took it down. Like, you know, like just the convenient and easy capturing of Dooku and Anakin for the in service of the trade off scene and stuff like that, but generally a solid episode. I enjoyed it, and the music was seemed to be really nice in this one too.
For me, I actually had to score this one carefully because looking forward in the season, I know I'm going to have a lot of high numbers.
Right.
So I was like, you know, this is a good episode, but I got to be careful not to do it too high because.
Now, did you take it down in the course of when we were recording?
No.
Okay, because I for some reason I thought you scored it higher. For some
reason. No, I haven't taken it down at all. But I you know, I was kind of bemoaning this one because I was like, oh, it's a Jar Jar episode. But I actually really enjoyed this episode much more than I thought I would. I forgot about that Jar Jar Grievous scene, which is great. And he's not really that annoying, and he did a lot of good work this episode. And Grievous, it was just wonderful to have him back. Anakin is kind of dumb in this episode, and he should have realized it was a trap sooner. And Padme is okay. She's just there. I know they can't do much with these legacy characters, but they're starting to lack, and I want them to do things with these legacy characters, at least something. But I know they can, but it's starting to like weigh on me a little bit. But the battles are really great, and I love the new animation. So I gave it a 7.75 out of 10. Hmm. So a touch higher than you.
Just a touch, though. I'm surprised.
Why?
I thought you were going to rate it higher. I was thinking this was going to get like an 8.5 out of you.
No, because I know we're about to get into seven episodes of me really, really high ratings.
Okay.
I know. So I'm rating these ones very carefully this episode up until that point. So, well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on either iTunes, Twitter, or the Two True Freaks Facebook page, especially on iTunes, because if you rate and review the show, it helps people find our show. So if you like our show, just give us a little shout out there, or if you hate our show, just tell us why. This week, our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode Citadel Rescue. Take it away.
Oh, we're still way back at Citadel Rescue. Wow, that even seems like a long time ago. All right, this one's from Paul C. Kelly, and he says, wow, you guys actually read my Facebook comment. Yeah, we're pretty good about that. That's why you should comment on Facebook, because we will read it. Awesome, he said. He liked the food discussion. I can't remember what food we were talking about that episode.
Me neither.
But I don't have to, because that's not what he's really talking about. So he says he has some more thoughts. In episode 4, A New Hope, I had started thinking Tarkin was a rank above Vader at that point in time. I recall him ordering him around, Vader, release him, as you wish. And there was an as you wish in this episode, too, I forgot to mention. And terminate her immediately. Vader was obviously more powerful, but Palpatine had good relations with Tarkin, as we see in this episode. And, this is me speaking, I think they might have wanted to keep Vader down a little bit with just, you know, he's not a ranking officer. He's sort of like a free agent with superpowers. So he's like chaotic.
That's kind of how I see General Hux and Kylo Ren too. Because Hux is in like the ranks and everything, but Kylo just does his own thing. So like
right,
when Kylo
right,
shows
but,
up,
but
Hux is
can
just like, ugh.
But Hux still can go like, Kylo, you know, shut up and sit down. And Tarkin could too. But, you know, but Vader was still more like, he was like an attack dog. And I also think a lot of it, I attribute a lot of it to shtick with Tarkin. I see them as almost being cooperative, you know, and
yeah,
Tarkin,
I see them being just like two separate groups, like the Army and the Navy. And you have these two people who are about equal ranks, but they're not exactly together.
They're two cop partners, and one of them's like, you be good cop, I'll be bad cop, you know. You can strangle that guy, but I'll stop you before you kill him, and then he'll think you would have killed him if I hadn't told you not to. You know, that sort of thing. You know, they could definitely mess with people, and I think that's what they were doing. Anyway, Paul C. Kelly goes on. Vader was obviously more powerful, but Palpatine had good relations with Tarkin, as we see in this episode. Tarkin may have been viewed as above Vader, and I think Vader was like, I'm just going to let the rebels blow this guy up so I can force choke somebody to death without this tool lecturing me. I'm sure there was an element of that in there. That sounds very Anakin to me.
Yeah.
Second thought, your adolescent Anakin impressions are starting to remind me of Napoleon Dynamite.
Gosh, Tina, eat your tater tots.
There is also, I realized today, a fire sign in the fire sign theater. Whenever they have teenagers, they talk like squeaky voice youth too. I'm thinking squeaky voice Patrick Delmore. Oh, you mean like adolescent Anakin? Oh, God, yeah. There's definitely some Napoleon Dynamite in there. Third thought: you guys should do a battle droid impersonation with "If I Had a Chicken" by Kevin MacLeod playing in the background.
I've never heard of "If I Had a Chicken"
before. I'll have to do some research into that. You can be sure while I'm editing this, I'll be doing some research into "If I Had a Chicken." Look forward to hearing your thoughts on this in a few weeks, along with my previous comments.
You know, I was thinking, I was talking about doing, like, impersonations of other things. I saw something on Tumblr today. In the new Darth Vader comic, Vader gets, like, flooded in a dam, and then he, like, pushes, like, dramatically all the water away from him. And someone was like, someone should do a 5-episode mini episode where Vader's just a magical girl doing really dramatic things like this. And I was like, yeah, that would be great.
That is kind of what he is.
Vader's a magical girl.
He's sort of an pissed off adolescent girl.
Oh my god, I can hear him doing the Sailor Moon thing now. Like the Kimi Sawate Asha? Yeah! In the name of the moon, I will punish you! Oh my gosh, please. Okay, so if this is your first time watching the show, Vader is a crybaby, but so is Chris. And he doesn't like American candy. So our good friend Dario, who is Chris's co-podcaster for Eat It and Beat It, is a flight attendant, and he sends us, oh my god, there's caramel stuck to it.
It's hot here, so mine's a little melty, and the first thing when I pulled open the wrapper, it had like a little stretchy band of caramel, and I was like,
yeah, Dario sends us candy from all over the world to do, and this is Toffee Crisps, which we thought was Arabic because it has Arabic writing all over it, but it's from England.
So maybe some of our listeners in England have actually had some Toffee Crisp. I love toffee, and I love crisp, and now that I see caramel, I love caramel and chocolate, so I'm really,
Oh my god. It's not as sweet as I thought it was going to be, but it's definitely chewy because of the caramel.
Wow. It's like, not what I was expecting, the layered wafers.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just like a crunchy, it's like crunched up wafer. It almost has a little bit of a Rice Krispie sort of feel to it.
Oh my gosh, it's initially sweet, but the more you chew it, it gets kind of bland.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't mean that in a bad way either, because I don't like things that are super sweet, so it's just sweet enough, and the rest of it is just texture.
Just enough toffee flavor to it. It's not really buttery.
Mm-mm.
It's good.
That is really good. I like that it's not super sweet. I don't want super sweet things. So that and my coworker dumped like 5 packs of chocolate into my purse, so I have like all this chocolate now more than I normally have. So I've been eating that all day. Well, yeah, she injured herself the other day. So I was, like, really kind of babying her and, like, letting her take, like, extra breaks to, like, relax and stuff. She didn't injure herself at work. This girl's a wild child. I love her to death because she always has the best stories. Like, this is the story she told me recently. And this is all her stories. She was just like, yeah, I went to my friend's graduation party. They're Hindu and it was a lot of fun. And then M. Night Shyamalan showed up because that's her uncle. That's her story. And she was also like, yeah, I really want to sneak into an AC/DC concert. And I was like, that's kind of dangerous. You shouldn't do that. And she goes, no, it's okay. My family's Romanian, so if I get caught, I just start speaking in Romanian and acting really confused. That's how I snuck into Music Midtown. Like, that's her stories. And so, like, the way she injured herself, she was like, yeah, I was hanging out with some friends, and then we snuck into an abandoned church, and I cut my hand on glass. I can't feel my hands. I probably need stitches. And I was like, oh my god. And so she was like sweating all through her shifts. And I was like, you need to go sit down. And so I was like babying her and like doctoring up her hand throughout the shift. And so when I worked with her on Tuesday, she brought like 5 bars of chocolate and dumped them in my purse for me.
Nice.
So, yeah, I love her, but every time I see her, there's a new, like, crazy wild story because she's a wild child and I fear for her life. So,
all you gotta do is start hanging out with her. You can get a little bit of that action for good and bad.
You know, I'm an old lady. I'm fine sitting at home riding with my cats. So, that's the most excitement of my life.
Hell, I'm older than you. I'll go hang out with her.
No, she's like 19, so... It was great, because she was like, well...
Well, I don't have to date her, but I would go on adventures. Well, actually, I'm too old to break into abandoned churches, too. I don't need to get arrested for trespassing.
She might use you, too, because she was like, yeah, I lost my driver's license when we broke into the church, so I've been driving around without a license, but I also can't buy cigarettes, and I met this guy on Tinder. He's kind of boring, but I smoked a cigarette, so it's fine. And I was like, okay. Just be careful.
If she's an interesting enough person and taking you on interesting enough adventures, what's a few cigarettes, you know?
Yeah. Like, that's my coworker, so I have all this, like, super sweet chocolate, so I'm really happy that this Toffee Crisp isn't that sweet, so.
I just polished off that whole candy bar just now while we were talking.
Mm. Well, that's all I have. Where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. About twotruefreaks.com, I'm going to start talking about this more lately. We need somebody who knows web design to help us out. If you know some web design, come on to Facebook and show yourself. We would like to talk to you. Yeah, that's at twotruefreaks.com. We have a Facebook page called Two True Freaks, and then we've got the Two True Freaks Cantina.
I just remembered something I really wanted to talk about.
Two True Freaks is on. We're getting to you. We're getting to you. I'm almost done. Two True Freaks is also on Twitter with Gene, the podcasting machine. Ba-dum-ba-ba-dum-bum. And he listens to every single. I posted the last episode. It was about. It was the Water War episode. I posted it late because I fell asleep. I usually posted it midnight for the day it comes out. I posted it the next morning when I woke up, and all of a sudden, Gene's answered all our questions about Heimdall and stuff. But you know, like, just like, damn, man. So he's on the job. And so where can they find you? And don't forget, you had something really important that you were supposed to.
So speaking of the cantina, did you see what I posted in the cantina that Dave Filoni put on his Twitter?
No.
Oh my God! So he posted a deleted scene from the episode.
Oh yes, about, I did.
About Chopper Base, and it was Ahsoka talking to Bindu, and I was just like, and there's beautiful art to go with it. But pretty much Ahsoka was just like, "Hey, Bindu," and he was like, "If you do this, you're like, it's not gonna end well." And she's like, "You mean I'm gonna die?" And he's like, "Well, something like that." And it was amazing. And I was so excited about it because so many people are still torn about whether or not Ahsoka died, if she's alive, or if she's a Force ghost. So it didn't answer things. At the same time, it's just like, I would have killed to have seen that scene. It was so good. Mm-hmm. Oh, Dave Filoni, why did you torture my soul? Anyway, you can find me at Jagus and Jedi. I run our Twitter page. You can also find me at Hope Molinax. And I'm also the news writer for whatthefangirl.com. Today I posted an article about how the Dark Horse comic The Umbrella Academy, which is written by Gerard Way, who was the lead singer of My Chemical Romance, he's now a comic book writer. Well, he was a sequential artist before he went into the band, but now that the band's retired, he now works full-time for DC. He actually runs the Young Animal line and the current writer for Doom Patrol. But Umbrella Academy won an Eisner, and they're going to turn it into a Netflix series. So that's what I wrote about today. So you can check me out at whatthefangirl.com. Yeah.
Do it.
I'm excited for next week. I've been talking about it forever. Guys, okay, so next week when you get there, we're going to just keep an eye out. And I mean that seriously because he has a cyber eye. You can't miss him. There's Commander Wolf.
Is there another Mad-Eye Mooney coming?
No, he's a clone commander. and I always talk about how sassy he is. Just count the number of eye rolls he has throughout the course of the next two episodes, and they're wonderful. And he's kind of fun, a fun character to look out for, too, because he's one of the two clones that's with Rex in Rebels. And we don't know how he got from Clone Wars to Rebels and like how he got his ship removed and how he figured all that out. But so next week when we get to Commander Wolf, just know he's one of the two clones with Rex in Rebels. So it's cool to see him because this is his first like really big episode where he has like speaking lines and he's doing stuff. So I'm really excited about next week because I keep talking about sassy Commander Wolf. And my God, he eye rolls almost every scene he's in. And I love him.
So come back next week when we play Count the Eye Rolls.
Count the Eye Rolls.
That sounds like a great like French nobleman right before like the.
See, I was
the revolution.
Like,
you know, Count the Eye Rolls.
I was thinking like Dooku's like stupid brother, Count Eye Roll.
Count the Eye Rolls.
Count Eye Rolls, and he's just like, "Hi, Dooku," and he's just like, "Oh God, this
whatever,
guy.
Dooku."
Huh. Why are you texting me? Why are you texting me back?
So lame.
God, don't let Palpatine see you. Get in the closet. I don't want to be in the closet. Shut up, eye rolls.
You've been in the closet all your life.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. T-R-U-E-F-R-E-A-K-S.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
We were finally invited aboard one of these spacecraft, which landed near Ann Arbor, Michigan on October the 24th of 1954. This is a drawing of the craft. As I was leaving the craft, the commander, Soltek, said, "Soon others of your people will be able to have an experience similar to this."